I wonder if any of you remember the British rock band Marillion, probably best remembered for their 1980s hit Kaylee. But when they released a compilation of their top singles in 1992, they included two new songs. And one of those was called I Will Walk on Water. Of course, that's a very familiar expression, isn't it? Even to people who have no idea that it originally referred to something that Jesus did. And importantly, it was something that Peter also did, albeit only briefly. Sometimes we use that expression to denounce an arrogant person who appears to think that they have some kind of supernatural powers. But conversely, we also use it to express our admiration for someone who can seemingly do the impossible. At first glance, it looks as if the Marillion song refers to overcoming difficulties in a romance. But like so many love songs, however, it could just as easily refer to our relationship with God, especially when you hear these lines. Don't let anyone tell you this is impossible. Hold on to me. Believe what you see. In today's gospel, the disciples in the boat found it hard to believe what they saw. Who wouldn't? They had been out on that lake all night, battling the winds. And so we can imagine how tired and exhausted they must have been feeling. It looked like Jesus, sounded like Jesus. But people can't walk on water, so surely it was a ghost. Like others during Jesus' ministry, Peter asked for a sign. Lord, he said, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. But nevertheless, he addressed Jesus as Lord, so that suggests he must already have believed it was him. Only the previous day, he'd seen Jesus feed the multitude. So Peter knew that his Lord really was capable of the seemingly impossible. When Jesus commanded him to come, Peter stepped out of the relative safety of the boat and began to walk on the water. But what happened next is very significant. Peter took his eyes off Jesus for a moment and noticed the strong wind. The dangers of this world momentarily overcame his faith. But which faith? Was it not Peter's faith in himself that wavered? His faith in Jesus clearly didn't, because his first reaction was to cry out to the Lord, save me. In due course, Peter would discover that Jesus could save him not only from the dangers of the deep, the imminent prospect of drowning, but from death itself. All Peter's doubts and denials were eventually overcome by the triumph of the cross. The resurrection also marked the renewal of Peter's faith, not only in Jesus, but in himself. Strengthened by encounters with the risen Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit, Peter became the first leader of the church. Jesus, despite all Peter's shortcomings, had every confidence in Peter. He would shortly call him the rock on which the church would be built. And even in today's gospel, once they reached the boat, Jesus encouraged his friend in words that are all too often interpreted as a rebuke. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Jesus said. But perhaps what he was actually saying to Peter was, "Why did you doubt yourself?" So how does this incident relate to us here and now in the 21st century? Jesus walked on water, but so did Peter. And in so many other things, Peter represents all disciples, both then and now. Through this episode, this living parable, Jesus reassures us, you and me, that we too are capable of achieving the seemingly impossible if we keep our eyes fixed on him. Jesus calls all of us to come to him and to help others come to him. And when the dangers and distractions of this world threaten to overwhelm us, he reaches out to us and reminds us not to doubt, but to hold on to him. When our faith in him or in ourselves is weakened by tiredness and exhaustion, as happened to Peter and the other weary disciples on the lake that particular night, Jesus will come walking towards us on the water, no matter how rough the waves or the strong winds may be. Without Peter, the church might not have flourished in the way it did. In today's increasingly secular world, what can we do to help others come to Jesus? When it all seems impossible, are we tempted to stay in the relative safety of the boat? In our case, the church, the building, the familiar words of worship? May we have the courage to step out in faith into the world, knowing that God has faith in us to tell others of the saving grace of Jesus. I'm sure many of us have found not being able to come to church each week over the last few months extremely challenging. For some of us, grappling with new technology has been a challenge. We've had to walk on water and trust God to give us courage to try and get to grips with it. And thank God that he's honoured his promise, because research suggests that thousands and thousands of people who would not normally walk through a church door have been engaging in worship through technology. I had a recent experience which really brought home to me the importance of fixing our eyes upon Jesus. I have an outreach ministry among some of the most vulnerable women in our county. And to enable this, I work for part of my time alongside a small team from a local women's centre. During this COVID lockdown, the way we work has had to change dramatically. And although I understood that changes had to be made, I became very frustrated at some of the decisions that were made and felt that the work could be done more effectively. even in these difficult circumstances. And it wasn't too long before I got into a very negative mode of thinking. I began to question whether I'd made a mistake. Perhaps God hadn't really called me to this work. Perhaps I ought to give it up. Perhaps. And then one night, long after midnight, my mobile phone rang. And it was one of our homeless women. She has very complex medical and mental health issues. But because I've known her for such a long time and supported her through some extremely difficult periods, she says she feels safe when she knows I'm around. She asked if I was doing outreach on the street that night because she wanted to talk to me. I told her that I'd been out earlier, but was now back home. And so we had a long chat over the phone. And then after we prayed, she asked why I'd gone home from outreach so early. When I told her it was 1 a.m., she was mortified and so apologetic. And what had happened was she had been put in temporary emergency accommodation because of COVID. And instead of having the usual 10 or 15 minute quick nap that she has when she's sleeping on the streets, she'd gone into a deep sleep in the comfort and safety of her room. And she'd actually slept for several hours without realizing it. But you know, when I woke up the next morning, I had a completely different outlook. I was once again full of certainty that this was the work that Jesus had called me to support the spiritual welfare of these women. And I realized that in an unguarded moment, I'd taken my eyes off Jesus and had begun to focus on me and what I thought should be happening. I wanted to have more say in decisions that were being made. I was about to throw my toys out of the pram and walk away from 6 years of worthwhile and productive ministry. How Satan loves it when we do that. He seizes the opportunity to send us into a self-centered downward spiral. But Jesus is faithful. He didn't take his eyes off me. You know, never in 6 years has that woman rung me. Not even in the daytime. When we meet, it's always face to face, and usually by chance, because she has such a chaotic lifestyle, making appointments just don't work. The chances of her even remembering she had my number were minuscule. But I believe that Jesus used her that night to bring my focus back onto him. The words in the Marillion song I referred to earlier say, "Hold on to me, believe what you see." So let's all do that. Let's hold on to Jesus and believe what we see. Let's then think not outside the box perhaps, but outside the boat. through these difficult and uncertain times, let's all make doubly sure we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and have the confidence to walk on the water to wherever and whatever he leads us. He won't let us down.